That was Solomon's verdict. Therefore, it is utter foolishness for me now to think that there is pleasure in the life of a man that has 5 wives and 7 concubines just because I am a man of 1 wife. I have come to know, I have come to believe that the ultimate of pleasure and satisfaction is found in the life of the man that is of 1 woman. How do I know? Jesus said, you don't have to experience it. Let those who know, who are blessed with the knowledge, let them tell you ahead of time. Accept it and then you will be blessed. If you don't accept it, you will not be blessed. So he said, blessed are those who believe without experiencing it first. Are you getting the point I'm making? Are you following my point? That was what Satan tried to get Adam and Eve away from. They said, why do you have to go like that? Test it first and you will see that what I am saying is not is true and God is not telling the truth. And God said, if you try it first, you will have wasted your life. You have no second opportunity to even enjoy the thing that you have come to understand. And if every generation had to go like that, like C.S. Lewis said, we have to be living as savages. You know what that means? No progress. That is, you know, houses are built now to 200 floors. It didn't start like that. Somebody first built the second floor. And one day somebody built the third one and the house collapsed. So they settled down and said, how does this happen? They found that for you to build houses below beyond this level, you have to dig down to this level. That has been coded in information. That is why you must go to school. That is why you must read. Are you getting my point? That is the information of the generations past are delivered to you without you trying. It is not by your own experience. You just take it and you accept it and your life is better. Therefore, an Albert Einstein in just a few decades can do things that people thought unimaginable. Why? Because he was able to receive all the informations that were stored before him. For your information, that man was a bookshop keeper at a point in time. He never formally studied physics. There was no time the man went to school and they said, today, postgraduate, university level physics. No, Albert Einstein sat and was reading. But he was imbibing information, allowing God the opportunity to give him development on top of what other men had experienced. Are you following me? Are you getting my point? So, what does it mean to be like God? To know good and evil. What he was saying is that I want to be the judge of good and evil. So the Kinsey man I was telling you about, he told them a lot of things, except that, like Mike Murdock said, he was transmitting his prejudice. He was transmitting his rejection of God. He was transmitting the fact that he had to conform to certain laws and orders. And he didn't like it. So he told men, you are putting a restraint on men. Why don't you let them be just what they want to be? I like one thing Rabbi Zachariah said about that. He said, imagine a child. You take something from a child. And maybe the child is by the year and a few months. I said, you know the way he reacts. No, 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 no. You understand my point? He wants to take it back from you by force. He said, just imagine for a second that that child had a gun. Imagine for a second that that child had a knife and he knew how to use it. What will he do to the man trying to take ordinary toy from him? He will kill him. Why? Let him be just what he wants to be. That is, you train the child by restraining him. Are you getting my point? He said, imagine the amount of wreck that those guys would cause in life if they had the ability to do just what they wanted. What was he trying to explain? That you have to, while you are put under restraint and put under check, train yourself in righteousness. And that was what God was saying. And what Satan was saying is that, why do you have to do that? Decide what is right and decide what is not. That is the meaning of knowing good and evil. It is not knowing that this is good, because it's what you call good and evil are, again, matters of righteousness. They are referenced. You know what I'm trying to say? That they have a reference point. So what he was saying then, that don't take your reference from God. Be the reference point. If it is good to you, it is good. You are following my point? That's why we use this judge as an example. What Jesus was saying, that this is the exact example, exact fact of those who reject the knowledge of God. They have become the judge. They do not fear God anymore. Neither do they respect men. They do just as they please. You know, if you see societies where these things have been entrenched, family life, rubbish. Divorce, hitting the roof. People just do what they like. Why? They say irreconcilable differences. I like one thing, the husband of immigrants. I don't know how many of you know immigrants. Christian musician of those days, now worldly musician. Now, immigrants, when she was going to divorce her husband, I don't know whether it's Gary Chapman, I've forgotten which of the husbands. Maybe it's Gary Chapman, I'm not very sure again. Please, I'm not sure of that name. But I remember what the man said. He said, they said we had irreconcilable differences. He said, that is true. What was the difference? I wanted her to stay and she wanted to go. That was the irreconcilable difference. Are you following what I'm trying to say here? That is, when they just walk out of marriage, it is because it is convenient. Please, watch a few movies. What is depicted there is exactly the way their lives have become. Do you understand my point? Men no longer love men. What I mean, that they don't love themselves. They don't love people anymore. That what I mean by love? Love does not think of his own first. Do you get my point? Yes, we have differences. What about our children? Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is, there is something about love that only God could have created. That is, you will punish yourself to bless somebody else. And look, listen to me. It is not as if marriages in places where divorce is not as high, they are happier than those in where divorce is very high. No! It is called the fear of God. But you know the interesting thing? I told you that spiritual truths are statistically provable. I read an article once. In fact, two of them I'm going to refer to in Reader's Digest. A very beautiful magazine. In one of them, a man was talking about a place he visited in France. And you know how you sit down and see men come and go, couples. And you say, you're describing a typical man, middle-aged man, working with another woman. And as they are, you say, you will notice something about them, that the woman is not exceptionally beautiful. There's something he was trying to say. He said, but this man's life seems to depend on her, that he appreciates her so much. He described how much tie that this man has to that woman. He said, why is it like that? Has she always been perfect? No. Has he always been perfect? No. He was just describing life, that they've gone through hard times, they've gone through difficult times, but over time, that all those their problems have built for them this bond of unity, that if they look at each other, you will see a kind of commitment transmitted in their gaze at each other. He was describing. I said, wow. He said, how do I know? He said, because I'm one of them. That's what he was trying to say. He said, me too, I've also taken that walk. I noticed what he was trying to describe. That yes, as a young married man, it was not always rosy. But over time, I have discovered that this is the best way to live life. Another article I read in that same Reader's Digest about a woman who said that she was about to get married. She was in her 40s. And before that, she had lived with a man she never married for like 13 years. And she was saying that, yes, it is foolish to marry, but she has discovered that the best thing to do is to take that step of foolishness. He said, she was trying to explain a few things. He said, because look at it. The man's parents, brothers, sisters, he said, they can never fully accept you because you have never committed to their brother. She described, he said, yes, I know marriage is risky. I know marriage is foolishness, but guys, I'm sorry. I want to take that step of foolishness. It looks like it is far better. Are you getting my point? Now, what I could have told her at the beginning is that Jesus said that the man thou livest with right now is not even thy husband. Are you getting my point? And that is not the right way to do it. Now, she has spent 12 or 13 years discovering that this whole life is a mistake. That lifestyle is a mistake. I have talked to a number of people whose parents had more than one wife, many wives. And in all of them, now, and if some of them who demand men try to take a second wife or sucks, anyway, whatever it is, different stories I can tell you, different experience that the people have had, and all of them consistently have said it was a mistake. I have heard a Muslim man who married many wives tell one of his children that if I have the chance to live life again, after my first wife, I'm not touching any other woman. No. A Muslim, he didn't give his life to Christ. He's just discovered by experience what life really is about. Do you follow my point? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It is not a joke that Paul warned Timothy, if you want to appoint a deacon, make sure he's a man of one woman. I told you on Saturday, he wasn't saying he must be a husband of one wife. What I mean is that is implied, but that's not the only thing. Even if he doesn't marry another woman, he must not have his affection elsewhere. He must not have a wife and then go and have a girlfriend. He said because he's dissipating spiritual energy. He's wasting life. The power for creativity is being taken away from him. That's why David said, how can a young man keep his way pure? But by keeping it according to thy law. Do you understand my point? In the laws of God, David was saying there is safety. The laws of God are not the denial of pleasure. It is safety. That's what the Bible is saying. True safety. So what did Solomon? What did Satan tell Eve? He said, why do you have to take laws from God's mouth? You can decide. He said, what if I don't know? You will experiment, okay? After you try first time, second time, third time, didn't you hear that Thomas Edison tried something for 3,000 times before he finally worked? The electric bulb. You've heard that story again and again. Some say 3,000, some say 10,000. I've heard all kinds of, but all of them consistently agree that he tried it thousands of times. Is that okay? All right. So it appears as if you see life is about trial and error. There was a contemporary of Thomas Edison that says something. And when I heard it, I was very happy to hear it. This is the man who invented the fluorescent tube. He said, it's true that the man persevered. He said, but I saw him waste time and energy for just not settling down to reason. You think that he's just persevering? I've told you, perseverance does not always work. Bernard Trevisan, that was his name I read, spent all his life trying to use experiments to change base metals to gold, ordinary metal to gold. When he died, he said, I have found out to make gold, you have to start with gold. He tried for 46 years. Are you following my point? That is the power of instruction. And when it says knowledge of good and evil, what he was saying to Eve was very simple. That why do you have to take instruction? Listen to me, what Satan told Eve, if God allowed them to operate like that forever, in effect, using the words of C.S. Lewis, we will have remained as savages till now. Do you know why? We will never take instruction from the previous generation. We will start all over again. It's like people who made the first processors, maybe 386, for example, let's take 386, which was even fast, and all of them died. And the next generation of men are supposed to start making processors. They will not even make one as good as 3. In less than 20 years, you have reached Pentium 7. You understand what I'm saying? Well, the common one is Pentium 4. But they are going to Pentium 5. They are making dual cores. That is because, and look, the dual core is not being made by the same man who made the 386. That one probably have died. But the knowledge he acquired, he had passed on. That is why in the scientific world, you must always reference your publications. They don't want original work. You want to reinvent the wheel? I told you one of those Saturdays, I told him that one young man, this guy is intelligent, he made an electric fan. I said, rubbish. Electric fan. Which one of you did physics here and did not make something when you were in secondary school? Which one? We all made something. What is electric fan? We all make fan. The diagrams are in Abbott. Nelcon and Packer, the diagrams are in there. What is all of this? Somebody made electric fan. You want to reinvent the wheel. It's called the knowledge of good and evil. That is now, we now start again. What is your problem? If you wanted to make a river, walk down to New Climb, they will show you. It's not hard. Go to Asia. All these equipments you buy, some of the electronics, they make them in backyards in China. So if you want to make an electronic better than the one we are using, you first go and learn the ones that we have used. That is how to take instruction from authority. That way you build on their instruction. You don't start again. What was Satan trying to tell Eve? Why do you have to listen to God that this thing is bad? If it feels good to you, that means it's good. God say, hey, look at you, this idiot. You don't know that you can eat sweet now and fill your stomach with gravel? He said, look at you. Most medicines that are bitter, they cure sickness. It is not how it feels that should judge. But like I told you, these things are scientifically provable. It is just that Satan, trying to transmit his prejudice, which is his hatred for the instructions of God, will not allow you to see it enough. Remember what I gave as an example the other day? CNN. I was talking to a white man, a Canadian. And I said, in Nigeria, when these boys in Niger Delta kidnap white men, they don't kill them. A friend of mine, I was having this same discussion with him. He said, you don't know what they call them. He said, they call them dollar. That those boys, when you see a white man, say, see dollar, they pass. Just grab the man. That is, I said, they don't kill them. That they want to collect money. And the white man said, are you serious? I said, yes, I am serious. That the only one I ever heard died in crossfire. Accident, you know, accidental discharge. You know what I mean? It was a mistake. I said, this is not Iran. To us, America is not a great Satan. There are people that have money and want to collect it. You know what I'm saying? And that we don't die for anything here. It's money the boys are fighting for. So he now said, is that so? He said, how come? He said, this is the way it is. Anytime they kidnap them, we hear. When they are released, nobody tells us. That was a white man and a Canadian. Marshall, that's his guy's name. What I'm trying to say is that they transmit the information. You say it really happens. Yes. They say pictures never lie. That is true. But captions do. You know what I mean? You put a picture. It is what you write under that I used to interpret the photograph. Before the day I saw that thing, the man was not making jokes. He showed Michael Tyson praying. Then he wrote behind. No, he was taking a phone call and just knelt down to write something down. But when you see Michael Tyson like this, you think the man was deep in the spirit and he was praying. He was not praying. Are you getting what I say? So what Satan did to Eve? She gave her information, but colored absolutely with his prejudice. In life today, we're talking about sin. Men still walk by it. They don't take instructions from the mouth of God. What do they want to do? They want to prove it first. If it feels good, it is right. But God says it is not only not right, it can be proved, except that by the time you find out it is wrong, your life has ended, you cannot start again. Therefore, he said, heed instruction and be wise. He said, experience is the best teacher. I said, it's the most wicked one. The best teacher is instruction. It is only men who have rejected instruction that experience have to teach or do not have the capacity to receive the instruction. Then God pushes it into their hearts by experience. Certain experiences don't give you the opportunity for a second chance. Therefore, experience is not the best teacher. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is why you see all these mechanics around in town. They wreck your cars trying to learn. Experience is not the best teacher. But you see a young man who goes to school. I've always said, I don't know why these young engineering boys don't become motor mechanics. They will make money. They will drive all these boys out of the market. They don't come there experimenting with my cars. You take a book and you read it first. Do you understand my point? Let me tell you, I'm a doctor. I know the way medicine advances. They only use experience. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? To learn the ones that have not yet been properly learned. And they will explain to you, sir, the surgery we're about to do for you has never been done before. We are hoping it works, but your case is so bad, we just have to try something. So we are going to try this one, and once it works, they publish it. And once it does not work, this is the interesting part about scientific world, they also publish it so that somebody in Australia will not repeat the experiment. Do you follow my point? That is, they don't only prove that something is good, they also prove that we have tried it and it does not work. Are you following my point? Knowledge of good and evil. Being like God. What that thing is saying is that it is only what I have decided is good that is good, and the one I have not discovered is good is not good. C.S. Lewis said, you live life like that, you will never make progress. And that was what Satan was selling to Eve, and she bought it. Are you following my point? I hope you are getting what I'm going to say here. To be like God, like we read from Luke chapter 18, means to be the judge of situations. Not to fear anybody above you. When God was going to swear, the Bible said he found no one greater, that is, he feared no God. Are you following my point? That is why this judge is a type of God. People have said that God is not an unjust judge. I said, listen to that unjust. Read that unjust in the context. You will know that using this word, he's that, in quotes, please understand me, he's that unjust judge. Because what he was saying is that he doesn't fear God. That when he wanted to look for a God to fear, he looked. He told Abraham, I want to swear an oath. So how do we swear? He said, I swear by Almighty God, which is myself. And he said, I fear nobody else. And as for Adam, Abraham, he said, I am no respecter of what? Persons. That is exactly what this judge is. I told you last time that when you look at the development in the world, how things have been moving, you know one of the wrongest places to try to plan your life is in a lot of the countries of Europe. Believe me, spiritual things are real. They always take their effect. They may appear slow, but they will take their effect. And when they do take it, they take it properly. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You get to learn that they have institutionalized the denial of God. I was discussing with a friend, these things have been recorded. I don't know whether to say some things. I said, it appears to me that the destruction of a lot of those European countries are going to come from the hands of Muslims. Can't you observe the sign of the times? Jesus says, you look at the kind of spirit that is in those people, and you know the interesting part, they're infiltrating everywhere. Look at the country like Nigeria. We are taking all their children and putting them in church. They tell that they are moving back. So they say, where's the better place? Go to Europe. And this is the advancement of Satan. It is the withdrawal of God. That is the advancement of Satan. Do you get my point? Satan is called darkness. Listen to what I want to say. He said, what fellowship has light with darkness? Or Christ with Belial? That is, Satan is called what? Darkness. And darkness in itself doesn't have any power. It only exists in the absence of light. You are getting my point? So when you withdraw God from the society, you are automatically infusing Satan into it. And he is the lord of death. Everywhere he stays, there must be the spirit of death. And Mike was telling me the other day that he saw somewhere in London that the Muslims have bought and are planning to spend the same amount of money that London is going to use to host Olympics, I think in 2010. I don't know which year they are hosting the Olympics. They are planning to spend that same amount or more to build a single mosque that can seat 50,000 people. In mosque, there are no levels. They are all on ground floor. So if a church seats 50,000, we know the way we sit around 50,000. We can put you on levels. Stadium can have levels. But mosque is just ground. And I smile. I say, hey, Mike, I'm beginning to suspect this is where the destruction of these European countries will come from. I'm not the prophet, too. Don't go out and say, Prophet Banky, if you say that one, I will deny you. You are on your own. I'm just observing the sign of the times. And it appears to me that God has refused to end some of these rubbish suicide bombers because he's going to wield them as a battle axe in the day of judgment. Now, that's not a prophetic word. If it doesn't come to pass, don't say you were wrong. Yes, I could have been wrong. You get my point? As for prophecies are supposed to come to pass, go and see Brother Tony Bakari. Go and see Duncan Williams. There are people who prophesy prophecies that must come to pass. As for my own prophecies, I'm just judging. My calculation may not be correct enough. It's not even every prophecy that comes to pass, even though given by God. You know that. Jonah prophesied. Is it 40 days? Nineveh shall be destroyed. 40 days, Nineveh was not destroyed. What is the difference? There was a power of repentance, which was what annoyed Jonah, was God did not even tell him, go and tell them if they don't repent. He just went and said, 40 days, you guys are dead. At the end of 40 days, they were not dead. And he looked at God and said, why is this kind of embarrassment was the reason I didn't want to come in the first place? As a child, I used to think it was because he was afraid of the Ninevenians. But I found out later, he was not afraid of them. He was angry with the kind of thing God might just do to cause him embarrassment. It was understanding I had before Tunde Bakari prophesied that time about 1999. And when what he said didn't come to pass, and people say false prophet, I said, you people are bereft of understanding. If you knew, you would have known the God that shows mercy. And you should have been afraid that judgment has not yet passed. It's still hanging in the clouds. and that a lot of politicians have bought it in these 8 years. God gave them another 8 years to see whether I should suspend it for another 200 years, because that judgment can only go away with the coming back of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, men will still tap it and bring it down. Watch it. They were saying that false prophet. I say, yeah. Men who don't have understanding. You don't understand that judgments can be suspended when you make entreaties to God. That Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, he said, now remove your hand from iniquity. Stop oppressing the poor. Peradventure, there will be a lengthening of the days of your prosperity. Ah! I said, didn't all of you pray? Did that prophecy not scare you to prayer? Did the wife, late wife now, of our president not go to redemption camp to go and kneel down and cry for her husband? Who told you that God is not merciful and he does not listen to such cries? For you, the judgment now is that the man is a false prophet. I said, that guy is not a false prophet. He has prophesied enough for us to know that he's not a false prophet. Anyway, that's just by the way, for men who want to learn instruction. I'm just explaining a principle of sin. Last week, we began to talk about it. And I just want to conclude some of those things today. Knowledge of good and evil means that what I think is right. I like one thing also, Kenneth Hagin said. People said, everybody's entitled to their opinion. He said, what nonsense? Are you getting my point? He said, everybody should learn God's opinion. You understand? You are not entitled to your opinion. That is called eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What each man, each woman needs is to subject his will to the will of God. How a man eats of the tree of life is to say, nevertheless, not my will, but your will, oh my God. That is what, there's one song we used to sing then. He said, when my will becomes enthroned in your own, that is, we know that a point will come. Let me say something here. The fact that something feels right or bad to you doesn't make it right or wrong, because the standard of right and wrong is still God. And in the case of Jesus Christ, it felt bad to go to the cross, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And the power of that subjection carried him through the cross. I told you on Saturday, difficulty, hardship is meant to be endured. That gave him the power to endure the difficulty. Are you getting my point? That how do you eat of the tree of life? To eat of the tree of life, he said, this is eternal life, that they may know you. The knowledge of God is how a man, a woman eats of the tree of life. And listen, you know, life is also statistically provable to be alive. Do you understand my point? Life. I had a discussion with a friend today, one of my doctors today in the office. And he said, I shouldn't repeat that because it may carry us a bit out of what we're trying to say. But I just said that, look, this life is much more real, much more complicated than science has even discovered it to be. In fact, let me tell you how that one came to me, what he was trying to say. A man had 5 children. All right? But it was found out that none of the children, all right, was really his own. His wife brought the pregnancies from places he doesn't know. But all of them were carbon copies of that man. That was why he featured on TV, on one of these Discovery, all those channels, that all of them carbon copies of this man. But when they did all their genetic studies, they found that not one of them was his own. But physically speaking, oh God. You know, some people want to adopt children. They don't know where the child carried his evil. I said, there is not like that. If I adopt a child into my home, there's what is called the spirit of adoption, in which the child takes on my nature. Give him a few years, he will look like me. I just lie. Look, if the child was sick, I adopt a sickly child. I will place my hand on him. If the spirit of Christ indeed dwells in me, it will give life to his mortal body. Life is real. Spiritual things, they are very, very real. What I'm trying to say is this. When a man, a woman has eaten of the tree of life, it will show in his body. He said, though the body be dead because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. He said, if the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit that dwells in you will give life to your mortal bodies. Listen to me, you will prosper where people said there was darkness. Are you getting my point? That is why I laugh. Is it that? It's easier to prosper in America. I said, I don't believe it. Men prosper by the power of resurrection. Are you getting my point? They prosper by the power of life. Look, you have to face life with this knowledge. That, listen, I'm not walking according to my knowledge. I'm not walking according to what I think is good or evil. I am walking according to the spirit of life, which is imbibing whatever God says is his will. I accept it. Let me end by explaining something again. The power of the New Testament. What God is doing is transmitting the spirit of God, the spirit of life into your soul. Are you following my point? So that at the point in time, you begin to feel like God. You begin to think like him. You begin to judge like him. So when you say this is wrong, it becomes wrong. So Paul will say, I do not have an express commandment from here. However, I have the spirit of God. That's what God is trying to do. That was what his aim was. But it starts from somebody being willing to receive instruction from his mouth. Are you getting my point? Somebody being willing to accept the standards of God, no matter what his own personal feelings, no matter what science tries to tell him. If God says something is good, it's good. If he says it's bad, it's bad. There's one I always say, and it appears like a joke when I say it. People say that it's good to have two children. I say, why? I said, country is difficult. I said, the word of God says that it is blessed to have a quiver full. There's no explanation you want to give me. I am a doctor. I studied in school what they call the problems of grand multiparity. That is what a woman goes through from having too many children. I said it is a lie. The Bible says it is blessed to have a quiver full of them. I was saying that before I found out one day. One specialist, a man, a phrenologist at that time in gynecology, he said they have done some studies. They found what the people they call great grand multiples amongst Jewish women who will have 14 children. And you see the woman, you won't believe it. She's perfectly healthy. I said, I knew that before I heard this testimony. Are you getting my point? No scientist can prove to me that I will die young. No scientist can prove to me now that, you have to understand, there is this particular gene. Listen to me, I have the spirit of life. I'm not judging by the seeing of my eyes or the hearing of my ears, except what I'm hearing or seeing is from the word of God. That which we have heard, let's close with that, which we have seen, which our hands have handled concerning the word of life, that is the same thing we are delivering to you. That's what John said. That's what I'm believing, my brother. Are you getting my point? That is a power of life. Have you learned one or two things today? Because our time is up. We got to close now. Let us pray.